Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 begins with an earnest and an affectionate exhortation that follows from chapter 11. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1 begins, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" In chapter 11, the Lord uses emphatic irony to warn young people not to revel in the worldly pleasures of a sinful heart. The Lord warns young men not to indulge the wicked passions of sinful and corrupt minds. The Lord warns young people not to become addicted to the ways of this world, or even to the ways of one's own heart, or to the lusts of one's own eyes. The Lord warns in chapter 11, verse 9, "But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." Youth is a slippery age. Young people easily slip into addictions to sinful and worldly passions and pleasures. And God tells us that we must put off these sinful and worldly passions and pleasures, and instead we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We must put off from our lives and from our bodies and from our minds and our hearts what is sinful, and we must put on what is holy and what is good. It is not enough merely to put off what is bad. No, we must also put on that which is good. Jesus Christ warns us in Matthew chapter 12, if we clean out what is bad and do not fill it with what is good, the bad will come back with a vengeance and even be seven times stronger than it was at the beginning. And so the Lord so often and so clearly exhorts us not only to put off sin in our lives, but to put on righteousness. In Romans chapter 13, verses 12 through 14, for example, the Apostle Paul writes, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the lusts, or for the flesh rather, to fulfill its lusts." Paul gives a similar exhortation in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 20. He speaks about those who walk in the futility of their mind like the unbelieving nations do, whose understanding is darkened, who are alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who even are past feeling. They can't tell anymore that they are living in sin and in wickedness. And they have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. And then Paul writes in verse 20 of Ephesians 4, "But you, the people of God, you, the congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Paul writes similar words in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 5. "Put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them." Those are the things that the Lord is telling us to put off in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And then Paul goes on in verse 8, "But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." We must put off sinful lusts. We must put off wicked passions. We must put off worldly pleasures that are so attractive to our sinful nature. Especially when we are young. They're especially attractive to us when we are young. And what we put in place of all those sins of youth, what ought we to do instead? What should we think instead? What should fill our hearts instead? How should we spend our time instead? What should we be doing with the energy of youth, with our lives from our youth? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, "The Lord sets before us a grand and glorious task. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth." Remember, think about, ponder, consider and meditate upon, praise, study, glory in, fellowship with, learn of your Creator. Remember and think about and study God who created the universe. He is your Creator. He made you. He made Adam and Eve, and He also made every human being. Your birth was the work of God. You were born by the sovereign, omnipotent power of the Almighty Creator. The Bible begins with this glorious, this grand, this foundational truth. Genesis 1, verse 1 is the very first verse in the Bible, and it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created light. God created time. God created day and night. God created the sequence of day and night that follow one another until the end of history. God created the firmament, the heavens, the sky. God created the dry land and the seas. He created everything. God created man, male and female, after His own image, in knowledge, in righteousness, and in holiness. God made man's body from the dirt or the dust of the ground. And then God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God has made both man's body and his spirit. The Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 12, verse 1, the prophet writes, "The burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him." David writes in Psalm 139, near the end of that great psalm, in verses 13 and through 16, "For you, that is you, the Lord, the Creator, formed my inward parts." All the organs and parts that are inside of our bodies, God created all of them. "You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." In place of all of the vain pursuits of youth, from our earliest days of life on earth, in the world that God has created, as creatures that God has created for Himself, we should learn about and remember God the Creator, the Almighty God, the only wise King, the chief good, the greatest good. Prophet Isaiah wrote about the Creator, the Sovereign One, in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25. "To whom then will you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. Who brings out their host by number, calls them all by name. By the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God?" How many young people say that as they're growing up or in their young lives? "God doesn't care about me. God hasn't done for me what He ought to have done." And what is the answer of the Lord to that question? Verse 28. "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. Even to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." The reason that young people become bitter and ingrown, The reason that young people often complain about the providence of the Lord in their lives is that they do not remember the Creator. They have not spent their youth studying the ways and the works and the Word of the Almighty. For that is the Lord's answer to those who complain that God has not given them what they deserve. This is the Lord. This is the Creator. And every young person should spend his time learning about the Creator. Every young person should spend his days remembering the Creator. We are baptized into the name of the Creator. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are set apart to serve the Creator. And since God, the Creator, has made us, should we not live for Him? He gave us our being. He gives us our breath and our life. He made our spirit. He made our bodies. He gives us health and strength. Do we not owe to Him our service? Do we not owe Him our life? So often we think that God owes us our life. We should be able to do this, and we should be able to do that, and we should have this and that. We should be able to enjoy this and enjoy that. But that is backwards. God does not owe us a life. We owe God a life. We owe to the Lord our service both in this life and through all eternity. For He made us for Himself. He made you for Himself. How much we owe Him. Not only did God make us, but God makes us new creations in the Lord Jesus Christ. God redeems a corrupt and sinful vessel for His great and holy name. All by grace. What a weight of obligation. What a great debt we owe to the Creator. And do not let that go in one ear and right out the other. We owe to God the Creator our whole life, our whole body, our whole mind, all our wealth, all our abilities and talents, every ounce of our strength, all of our minds, and our whole heart. First of all, because He made us. We did not make Him. And secondly, in addition to that, because God recreates us and He saves us by His grace through His Son, Jesus Christ. He regenerates us. He makes us who are dead in sins alive spiritually. We cannot resist the debt we owe to God. We cannot deny the debt we owe to God. Revelation chapter 4 verse 11 says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and for Your pleasure they are and were created." We must uphold the accuracy and the trustworthiness of the Bible from the very first verse to the very last verse. Each person in the Holy Trinity equally claims our interest and our service. The word Creator in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 1 is plural because God is three persons. The Father is the Creator, the Son is the Creator, and the Holy Spirit is the Creator. And we are to remember the triune Creator. In the first chapter of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 26, the Lord uses the first person plural pronoun to refer to himself as creator. He said, let us make man in our image. Our most important duty in life is to remember our Creator. And yet that is far from our nature as sinners. It's far from our normal habit. If you search your own conscience, you will see that our usual habit is to forget God. It is to not remember our Creator. We may even deny that He made us. By nature, we try to keep God out of our minds as much as we can and fill our minds with so many other things, but not God, not the Creator, not the one who made us, to whom we owe that debt of our life and all that is in us. We're like the heathen who have no thought of God. Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. And then in verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Instead of remembering God, by nature we make every effort to shrink from Him, to pull away from Him, to forget Him, to ignore Him, to make Him irrelevant for our lives, for the thoughts of our minds, for the desires of our heart, for the goals of our life. We make God irrelevant to all of that. Our hearts plainly attest this revolt against God. We spend our time and our energy and our effort cultivating ideas and opinions and theories that tend to keep out of our sight the living and loving God who created us. We substitute an idol for Him. We substitute an occult agency for God. We substitute a formal creed or belief for God. Have you ever wondered why people do not like the Lord's Day? It is because people do not like God. They do not want to be in the presence of God. And the Lord's Day drives them into the presence of the Lord. They do not want to remember their Creator too much. They do not want to fill their minds with His glory and with His Word and with His worship for even one whole day every week. That's too much. That's too close to God. Then they would remember Him too much. And the memory of Him would rebuke their sin too much. We fill the Lord's Day with our own pleasures. We fill it with our own thoughts. We fill it with all of our own activities because we do not want to remember our Creator as we ought to. We want to get away from Him as far as we can or as much as we can. Eric Little was a young man raised in the Reformed faith who remembered his Creator in the days of his youth. In 1924, the highest officials of Great Britain tried to persuade him to run in the qualifying heat for an Olympic race on the Lord's Day. And he said no. He said, I cannot and I will not. He said, nothing that you say and nothing that you give me will change my mind. Why did he take that stand? He would not run on Sunday in the Olympic Games in Paris because he remembered his Creator in the days of his youth. He remembered that God made him to run and to run fast. He remembered that God made the Lord's Day for him because God made the Lord's Day for man. And God gave us that day to honor the Creator who made us strong and fast and to worship Him. God commands us to keep that day holy to Him. And nothing can take the place of public worship and holy rest on the day that belongs uniquely to God in every week. Eric understood that because he remembered his Creator in the days of his youth. He understood that God created him to worship the Lord. He understood that God redeemed him from sin to worship the Lord and praise and honor the Creator, especially on the Lord's Day. That, congregation, is remembering your Creator in the days of your youth. Our concern should be with the God of the Bible. He ought to fill our thoughts and to fill our hearts. To worship any other, such as winning that gold medal, or being the fastest in the world, or anything else, is to make a creature of our own imagination into God. We remember our Creator when we are diligent and faithful in every godly exercise. Have you ever willfully, purposefully neglected the reading of God's Word for a day without serious loss to your own soul and your own life? Do we not suffer seriously in our souls by giving too little time and by letting our heart go away from prayer to the Lord daily? The Creator who made us, who causes us to wake up bright and early in the morning that we might serve Him, and we will not pray to Him. We're too busy. We have too many things to do, too much service for the Lord that we cannot take time to read His Word or to pray. In whatever way God reveals Himself, we are to use our energy and our minds and hearts to seek Him. We are to seek Him in His Word by reading it and meditating upon it. We are to seek Him and remember Him in His providence by observing the great things that God does. We are to seek the Lord in His wisdom by admiring the wisdom of God. And we seek the Lord in His sovereignty by humbling ourselves before Him. And we give ourselves to the Lord and remember our Creator when we rely on the faithfulness of our God. And when we are thankful for His kindness and His mercy to us. That's remembering your Creator in the days of your youth, in all the days of your life. God requires us to remember Him continually, all the time. That is a duty that God has laid upon every human being, in every age and in every time. Doesn't matter how old you are to remember your Creator. The things that you do in your youth are things that you will do as you grow older. And that is why the Lord says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. The whole of our time, the whole of our life is not our own, but it is God's. And so the Lord says that we are always to live in remembrance of Him, in the fear of Him. We do not have the right to subtract even one moment of our life from that claim that God lays upon us, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 17 says, "Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day." And in Psalm 16, verse 8, the Lord says, "I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved." Psalm 1 says that we meditate in the law and word of God day and night if we are a godly person. And yet it is in the days of our youth especially that we are to apply ourselves to studying and remembering our Creator. The days of youth are the one season of special application to this great task of human life. Why is that? There are several reasons for it. First, the enemy, the devil, the world, and our own flesh meets us in that day of youth, in that season of youth, and tries to lure us to pleasure. Youth is for pleasure. Youth is the time to enjoy yourself. How many times have you heard people tell you that? Age is for business, and old age is for religion. Let the devil have the prime time of your life. Eat, drink, and be merry while you're young. And give God the last of your life, the dregs, at the bottom of the barrel. You'll have time enough to think about God and remember your Creator when you're old. You don't need to do that now. When you're no longer able to enjoy life as you do when you're young, then you can give yourself to the Lord and to remembering your Creator and serving Him. Now is the time for pleasure. Now is the time to experience as much as you can in life. Religion can come later. What a terrible delusion that is. It is the delusion of Him who is a liar and the father of lies, who was a liar from the beginning, Jesus said in John 8, verse 44. God must have your life today, even when you are young, for that is the only sure part of your life, and that's another reason why we are to remember our Creator now, in the days of our youth. You do not know whether you will live another day. You do not know whether you will reach old age. Is there any person, is there anything in this world that can show a better title to your youth than God? Let Him bring it. Let Him bring that claim. There is no one. The Lord says, "Remember now your Creator when you are young." Today, in the days of your youth. In the days of your youth, choose to serve the Lord as Joshua did and his household. What a mercy it is when the world and the devil and sin claim our lives and our service, and the Lord, the Creator of heaven and earth, claims our life and our service. To be enabled by the Holy Spirit of God to choose not to serve sin, not to be the slave of sin, but to be the happy and blessed child of God, a young witness for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a bright star shining in the dark night of a miserable world. What man of God? What minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ? What believer, what parent who fears God would not delight in a galaxy of such stars? Young people who fear and serve God from their youth. Why is this so urgent? Why is it so urgent that we remember now our Creator in the days of our youth? The rest of verse 1 tells us, the difficult days are coming, and the years are fast approaching when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. I have no pleasure in those years. I have no pleasure in those days. Bob and Erna Teeting used to say, I don't know why they call them the golden years. They're not golden. Think of the days that lie ahead. Days of pain. Days of sorrow. If you want God to have mercy and pity upon you in your physical weakness, in pain and suffering, it comes from the decay and degeneration of our bodies and minds. If you want the Lord to help you in those difficult days, then you must serve Him now in the good days. Old age will come if you live that long. And with it will come all of the weaknesses and infirmities that are common to mankind in this fallen and sinful world. And those weaknesses and those pains may bend your back. They may weigh you down. But do not let your sins break your back. The days of old age are difficult. So we must lay up as many graces as we can to sweeten those days. As many comforts as you can to strengthen your heart against all of the evils and difficulties of old age. Gather in the summer before it is winter, so that your years of old age may be good years, years of praising God, years of thanking God for His faithfulness and His goodness to you, years in which you rejoice all the more in fellowship with Him and in His Son, Jesus Christ, and in the wisdom with which He has made all things and by which He governs all things. There was an old man who met David as he was fleeing from Jerusalem when his son Absalom was trying to take the throne from him. And he brought raisins and wheat and barley and flour and grain and beans and lentils and seeds and honey and curds and sheep and cheese for David and all the people who were with him to eat, for he thought the people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. His name was Barzillai, the Gileadite. And when David returned back to Jerusalem after Absalom was dead, he invited Barzillai to come across the Jordan River with him. And David said, I will provide for you while you are with me in Jerusalem. But Barzillai said to the king, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I am 80 years old. Can I discern between the good and bad? Can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any longer the voice of singing men and singing women? Why then should your servant be a further burden to my lord the king? Your servant will go a little way across the Jordan with the king. And why should the king repay me with such a reward? Please let your servant turn back again, that I may die in my own city, near the grave of my father and mother. But here is your servant Chimham. Let him cross over with my lord the king, and do for him what seems good to you. So David agreed, and he kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and Barzillai returned to his own place. When you get old, all of the things that we take for granted in our youth can become difficult. The hearing and the seeing. And Solomon writes about that in the rest of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And if we are bereft of our sight and our eyes are dim and our ears are hard of hearing and our joints are filled with pain, and we also are enemies of God. We're under His wrath and curse. And we stare in the face the eternal judgment of God upon sin forever in hell. What pleasure will we have in those days of our old age? We need to look ahead to those days and to provide against it, to have a staff to lean upon that will bear our whole weight, to have the Lord Jesus Christ as our King and our Savior, as the one who will provide for us, so that when the earthly house of this tabernacle, that is our body, is dissolving, we have a building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Today is the time to give yourself to the Lord, to serve Him, to remember Him, to study Him and His Word. Every day is lost that is not spent for the Creator. Do not let the deceiver cheat you out of all your days, out of all your years, by cheating you of today. Believe and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember your Creator, even today while you are young. Fear God and keep His commandments. Old age is the worst time that you can choose to mend your lives or to mend your future. If the foundations of godliness and of Christian faith are not laid when you are young, if we neglect them until our strength and our vigor fail us, until old age overtakes us, the odds are 100 to 1 that you will die both poor and wicked. But when we turn our hearts and our minds truly unto the Lord, even in our youth, when the Holy Spirit of God works in our hearts that longing and desire to please and to know Him, we are blessed, not only with spiritual blessings and prosperity, but also with temporal and earthly blessings, because God pours out His grace and His goodness upon those who fear Him and who seek Him. Yes, there will be dark and difficult days ahead, but if we remember our Creator now, when those days come in which we have no pleasure in our days and years here on this earth, God will still be our pleasure and our joy. And God's pleasures will still remain with us, full, fresh, abiding, heavenly, uninterrupted, and unfading. The psalmist said, "My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." The psalmist said, "When I am old, I will still be like an olive tree bearing fruit in the house of God." So as you live your life this week, even though you are very young, remember your Creator. Think of the glory of God in everything that you do. Think of the kingdom of Christ in everything that you do. Think of the will of the Lord in everything that you do. And serve the Lord with gladness, for He is your Creator. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that You are the Creator of all things that we see in heaven and on earth, and You have made us. May we remember You as we should. May we incline our ears to the words of Your mouth. May we think of Your glory and think of Your kingdom and think of Your holy will as You have revealed it to us in Your Word, so that we may live not for ourselves, and we may not be attracted and enamored with all the pleasures and desires of this wicked and sinful world, and of those who would entice us to turn from you, that we might run after pleasure and self. Rather, Father, may you be our strength. May you be our portion. May we fill our hearts and our minds and our lives with the knowledge of you, with the praise of you, and with the service of you, our God and our Creator. Teach us these things, we pray, by the mighty and powerful working of your Holy Spirit. For unless you cause us to remember you, we will not. And we pray, Father, that this world in which we live may be turned by the preaching of the gospel and by the breathing of your Holy Spirit upon the dead bones in the valley of death, that they may come to life and may remember the Creator of the ends of the earth, who neither faints nor grows weary, but who causes his people to be renewed with strength, to run and not faint, to walk and not be weary. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.